Ocean FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.
Hello, people of Donegal, we have done it!
Oh, it's just fabulous to see him alive and up and picking her up.
Jimmy's winning that team. Jimmy's winning
the thing about the club is you don't choose your club. It's like family.
You want to get back out on the field. It's just that it's in your blood, I suppose, and you just want to get out there now and get the games going again.
Brian Murray,
thank you.
Let me shake hands with you. You came in here hobbling. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm all right. I'll tell you nothing but a couple of pints won't do, I'll tell you, you know.
He gets a bit behind it. He launches it in. It's over the bar. The wee man from Kintyre.
Yeah, welcome to the Donegal GAA podcast with Ocean FM. Paddy McGill here. Well, what a pulsating weekend in the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Football Championships. Later on in the show, we will hear from Redden McGiltigta's Oni McGarvey, who gives us a wrap-up on the Intermediate and Junior Football Championships. But first, it's that pulsating encounter in O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny between Niamh Connell and Kilcar. Niamh Connell advanced to the county final, where they will take on St. Junan's. Let's look back at the action.
This is definitely Kilcar's last chance, with every man, woman and child in the parish of Inniskeel now is inside the Niamh Connell 21 metre line. St. Junan's await the winners. Michael Higgerty is going to kick it into the edge of the square. Who's it going to fall to? It's going to fall. Well, it's not going to be a goal. It falls into the back of the net, but it's not going to stand. It's up for a square ball.
Oh, Enda has blown. The ball was on its way to the net as Enda blew the final whistle, and it looks like it's a square ball, and it's a very, very controversial finish here in O'Donnell Park. That ball ended up in the
net. Has he blown the full-time whistle, or has he given it for a square ball?
I thought I heard the whistle from here, and it looks like he's maybe going to consult with his umpires. Is it a draw? Is it all square? We don't know.
He's not going to change his mind here.
I cannot see him changing his mind, but he is talking to somebody, and if he wasn't going to change his mind, he wouldn't be talking to anybody at this stage.
But usually, you rarely see referees, so you would hope that pressure from, you know, either side would have a difference in this. I have to say, I was following the ball, but I'm just looking over at, you know, a couple of our journalists who are left-hand side, and they said it was a square ball. So look, a huge, huge decision that's going to be resting on Enda McFeely here as he consults with his umpires. Yes, thankfully we're going to have the luxury of looking at it at the big screen again. So the kick comes in from Michael Higgerty. Oh, it's very close. It's very, very close indeed. Is it Paddy McBrearty? Yeah, gets a thing to it. I think it probably should be a goal, but I don't think it was a square ball. He's given a square ball. Niamh Connell are going to be going into their fifth county final. Looking at it on the TV screen, it looks a little bit harsh.
Very, very hard to even know on the screen. It was Patrick McBrearty that got on the end of it. Kieran McGinley went for it as well. Just went over his head. Patrick McBrearty got a palm on it. Went straight past Stephen McGrath's shoulder and landed in the net. But I thought I did hear Enda McFeely's whistle before Patrick McBrearty made contact.
Yeah, no doubt about it there. The voice of Peter Campbell. Niamh Connell have a free inside their own half with Kieran Thompson. He's going to blow the whistle. This could get toxic after this one. But is it ever any other way when these top sides meet in Donegal? Niamh Connell lead by 3. There's Niamh Connell man taken out of it off the ball. They have a chance here to go forward to the good. Hard to see what player it is at the moment. I was following the play, but it's going to be a free to Niamh Connell. AJ Gallagher is coming into the fray. He normally plays at full back, but missed so much football in the last couple of weeks, so it's going to be a free to Niamh Connell. They're going to be advancing into the county final. It looks It looks very close, doesn't it? Or do you think it was?
Well, looking at it, it seemed to be inside the line all right, and it probably was the correct call by Enda McFeely. A foul there, and I think that is the end of the game. I don't think Kilcar are going to get another chance. We've played 35 minutes. I think the board went up for 2 minutes to be played, so he's actually 3 minutes over that. I know there were a lot of stoppages in that period, but it does look like Niamh Conn will have it, and they have a chance to actually... And they're going to go short. They're not going to go for the point.
Yes. Yeah, there's a full-time whistle. Niamh Conn are through to yet another county final. They are going for three in a row. They've defeated Kilcar 11 points to 8. It is pure and utter dejection from a Kilcar point of view. Niamh Conn into another county final. They will take on St. Junan's. They had so many goal chances. But look, they're there now.
Yeah, we got a scare in that very last play, but I think over the 60 or 65 or maybe 67 minutes played, I think they were the better team. I think Gary McDade thought that Kilcar dominated the first half, but as you say, it was Niamh Connolly who had the goal chances, and in the second half they had an even better goal chance with Ethan O'Donnell. So,
oh, there's a few unceremonious things happening now on the pitch. I have to say, I didn't see it because I was just looking at the lads down to our right-hand side congratulating each other, so I didn't see it, but there's a few little jabs, is it, going on, I have to say, I'm just following the play, Peter, but nobody wants to see this.
No, and you know, there's actually no need for this at all. I think Jimmy White and the officials are getting in now and stopping it. Absolutely no need for that. Like, the game was played in a very, very sporting manner. You know, there was no... there was nothing in the game. And at the end, yeah, I suppose you have to walk off and accept, you know, something when it happens like that. You have to accept the result. And Niamh Conn were the better team on the day, especially in the second half.
All happening here. There's still a little... few little skirmishes going on down there at the moment, mostly handbags, I would have to say. Niamh Conn are into another county final. It's their fifth in a row, and well, it had to end like this, isn't it? So huge drama when these top teams meet in Donegal, and it's nice there seeing Leo McLoone and Brian McHugh there just hugging each other. But Peter, they deserve their victory.
Oh, I don't think anybody can deny them that. And you know, they have been the team of the last number of years. They've been very so consistent. And you know, you have the like of Kieran Thompson hitting those wonder points again today. Ethan O'Donnell as well in the second half, even though he missed a goal chance. I think, you know, him and the Dohertys dominated this game in the second period. They're probably lucky enough to go in at half time 4 points each. But at the same time, you say that they had the goal chances in the first half, but in the second half, I don't think there can be any excuse from a Kilcar point of view. Niamh Conn dominated that game, and you know, they probably could have won it by more. You know, you take into account that last goal chance and the ball being in the net, but I think the call probably was right. Even looking at it again on television screen here, he seemed to be about a foot. Maybe a foot or two inside the square. A bit unlucky, you know, because if it hadn't been a free kick, it probably would have been allowed. But you cannot be inside the square before the ball on a free kick, and you know, you can be in after the ball is kicked. And I thought maybe that Kilcar probably should have taken the thing short, and maybe they could have. You could have worked it, and then if they put it in high, then they would have had a better chance, even if there was a man in the square. But overall, you know, fair play to Niamh Conn. They're in the county final again, and like, who would back against them? Even though St. Junan's gave them a good run in the semi final last year.
And just stay there, Peter, because just with Gary McDade here, and just saying, what a crazy finish! What was your view of the square ball, not square ball?
I was hoping to see it in TG Carr, but I haven't seen the replay. Listen, I will say, and one thing. End has been consistent on the square ball all day. I'm not posing the first one he blew up. I definitely blew one, if not two more before that. But it just all boiled over right at the end, didn't it? You know, there's just no love lost between these two teams. And I'm sure, you know, the Glenties lads were driving it into the Kilcar boys there right at the end and making sure that, hey, we're the kings here. You know what I mean? And let's not forget it.
We were following, look, we were looking at lads congratulating each other down to the right-hand side. Was it just handbags up the side, or was there a few little clips?
It was tasty, so it was, you know. There was a few clips. There were one all right. right, so there was. And but listen, you know, I just think that the panel team was just phenomenal. You know, at half time they had played none, so they went in level. It was all Kilcare first half, and they came out the third quarter and just blitzed them. And the 2 minutes after the water break, two more points straight after the water break, and that there put them a 4 point lead, 9-5. So it did. And now, and Patrick and Bertie had a chance at 9-7 to had a free to make it 9-8, and that was another a free that you back him all day long over the bar, pin it wide. That'd be interesting, that one over the bar, Paddy.
And it's quite funny that you say that about Niamh Connell's third quarter, because Peter Campbell said so many times the theme of the second half was Kilcare going into the Niamh Connell 45, and it was turnover after turnover. It felt like they turned over something like 10 out of 11, something crazy.
Yeah, I nearly felt that Kilcare were going for goals too early as well. I mean, from the 50th minute onwards, they were nearly trying to force the goal. And I've been involved in teams before, especially in the club, where, you know, where we try and force goals and rush it too early. So we do. There was loads of time, maybe, you know, to keep chipping away at the scorer, because Niamh Connell had dropped off so deep they could have got scores. And now, only 2 minutes injury time. We know it's probably as short as we've seen across the club championship this year. I was in convoy this morning, and there were 6 minutes injury time, and they actually went on to 38 minutes, because 39 almost, because there was a couple of injuries within injury time then as well.
What would have changed, lads, in that dressing room at half time from an Niamh Connell point of view? It reminds me a bit like Jim McGuinness's third quarters. They are so, so good. And what this hunger, this desire. Like, Peter, they're not guys that are without a county medal. They're in their 10th since 05.
I know. I'd say they would have been delighted going into the dressing room at half time. 4 points each. And they, as Gary said, they hadn't played that much, but they knew that they had chances. And, like, they had two great goal chances. And I would say, you know, normally they would plan for maybe the third quarter. They were probably playing against this, whatever breeze was there. They had it then in the second half. But, you know, Niamh Connell, the fitness was never going to be a problem for them. We know that. They have the legs. And when Kilcare, probably it was them that panicked, because Patrick McBurty spent a lot of time out around the 45, even in the middle of the field. And, you know, they needed him in closer to the goal. They had to have him on the D, around the D. And, you know, Mark McHugh and Ryan McHugh, like, we didn't see enough of them in the second half. If those type of players are being kept quiet, Glenty's must have known that, you know, this is going to be our day. And, we will always probably talk, and the last goal will be shown again, and Kilcare probably won't be happy that it wasn't allowed. But I think it was clear from here that Enda McFeely blew the whistle. We heard the sound of the whistle before Patrick McBurty actually made contact with the ball. And looking at it again on the screen, it looks like he was a foot or two inside the square. And it probably was. It was the disadvantage of Kilcare that it was a free kick rather than from ordinary play. Because from a free kick, he can't be in time before the ball. If it was an ordinary play, it would have been a perfectly good goal. And that's just the small margins. You know, if that ball had been delivered from play, McBurty would have been within his rights to be there, because once you can win, once the ball's in the air, and he would have been in, and he would have had a goal, and we would have been playing extra time at this stage.
I don't know, would we all need more defibrillators here, Gary and O'Donnell back? Just 2 or 3 minutes left, but any more observations you just want to make about this one, Gary?
I thought some of the kick passing today was exhibition stuff. Kieran Thompson, Paddy McBurty, Ryan McHugh, I wrote down their three names, so some of that passing. Ethan O'Donnell got a great one right at the end as well. Interestingly, Owen Wade played up front today, which I've never ever seen him play for Niamh Connell before. He played off Charles McGuinness, and he got the goal chance, remember, in the first half. He also was involved in another goal chance in the second half. Niamh Connell had plenty of goal chances. Charlie McGuinness, 5 points today. So he had 2 for play, 2 frees, 1 mark. So he did. And his tackling, his hitting, the turnovers he got. the way he gets up and down the pitch, I mean, he's just a phenomenal athlete the way he is right now. He's turned himself into a phenomenal athlete. He's in really good shape the way he is. It's as good a shape I've ever seen him in, you know, over the years. It was a hard physical game, Paddy. It was real championship. I think it was good exhibition of Donegal club football today for everyone to see around the country. There was no quarter given or taken out there today. I loved it, so did, you know. I was just so glad I made it here. I'm glad the game of Convoy didn't go to extra time.
They'll be huge and hot favourites now, lads, won't they, for that? First of all, just quickly, and I know you both need to go, but what did you make of St Junan's last night, lads? Peter first.
Well, it's probably very, very difficult to know because the conditions were so bad last night. But, you know, I'd say St Junan's no more than Naoise Conall now. They're happy. They're in the county final. They didn't play until the last quarter or maybe the last 10 minutes. But they still got over the line. And, you know, they'll have to probably go back and look at what they did last year. They were within a couple of minutes of making a county final, a controversial late goal by Leo McLoone, wasn't it? Actually got Naoise Conall over the line that day. So there's always very small margins. You had the controversial late goal not being allowed today, and last year Naoise Conall and Leo. Or was it an own goal? We'll probably never know. It ended up in the net past Sean Patton, and that's what they'll probably be thinking about. Can they get the hunger back, you know, that they will need to play this Naoise Conall team? That's what I would be a little bit worried about, because it's never a factor for Naoise Conall to get up for a match and Bertley to get up for a final. Like they played this championship, you know, probably a perfect championship for them. They won their first game by a couple of 2-3 points against Linfin. Then they went to Ballyshannon and were very lucky to get out of it with a draw. But then they came back and they hammered Termon, and when it was put on the line for them and Glenswilly, they were up to the mark as well, only winning by 3 points. No, they've done enough to get over the line, but you see how they were up for the game today. Maybe not at the start. You'd expect that Kilcar probably needed to put more scores on the board. You know, I thought maybe at one stage they're in a good position once they get ahead, because you don't want Naoise Conall to get ahead of you. But once the second half came and Naoise Conall got their noses in front, I always feared for Kilcar, and they were always going to need a goal, and it didn't come for them in the end. And yeah, going to the county final, Naoise Conall will probably be odds-on favourites. So you know, St Junan's will know they've nothing. You know, nobody will expect them to do anything. So it's up to them now to come up with the goods.
Yeah, and as Peter rightly said, Gary, the last couple of years there's been nothing between Naoise Conall and St Junan's, but Naoise Conall have always come out on top. And I think, given, I completely agree, Peter, it's almost been the perfect championship for Naoise Conall, and despite those close matches in the last years, I have a feeling they're going to be going in as big, big favourites this time. Would you agree or disagree?
Aye, overwhelming favourites through the wall. I mean, that second half display today, oh jeez, like I just loved everything about it. The Guidoor performance the last day, like, you know, I actually, when I was at the game in the Glen that day, I actually thought they might have lost a bit of their mojo, you know what I mean? And stupidly, I was so far wrong. But like, last night, Unions are just happy, I think, that they have bridged that gap, that they couldn't get the final. It's been thrown at this team so many times that they could never get the final, that they were the bridesmaid time after time after time, not breaking that semi-final duck, very much like Naoise Columba in the intermediate. They can't seem to get past the semi-final stage as well. So I think at the moment they're just delighted to be there, and now they'll put a huge focus going on this year. And there's no, now, recently it's been different, but a few years back there was no love lost between these two teams here. I remember ambulances being in here in the O'Donnell Park in the past, so for games, reserve football too, not even senior football. You know,
surely people be going, you're bordered between the USA and Russia, aren't you?
I always said, listen, there were two superpowers of club football, and the two the two best teams are, you know, Kilcar are definitely up there as well. But Unions, I think, now got into this final, it's perfect for them, you know, it's perfect for them. Everyone's going to be talking Naoise Conall, no one's going to be giving them a chance. Probably, I mean, last night I thought, interestingly, they only used one sub, you know, last night. Parig McGettigan was the only player that came off the bench, so it was, got a great score. To me, they have a huge bench, and, you know, players there that I think it could make a difference as well. But that was an interesting point I just took out of the game last night, that they only use one sub. So maybe they're very much focused. That, listen, now I know Peter McAniff was injured last night. He would definitely be seeing game time as well. Maybe they're just down to 17 players, you know what I mean? Like, when they, in that game, there was an opportunity last night, Paddy. They ran away with that, as Peter said, in the last quarter. There was an opportunity to put boys on and take fellas off, you know, but they didn't. They didn't. They seem to be settled now. This is, we have our 17 players.
Yeah, because me and you commentated on St. Junan's a couple of times last year, and there was a feeling that they didn't really know their 15, and they were kind of, because there were so many players, lads, that were similar. You have 24, 25 yeah. players, but as you rightly said, it's kind of 16, 17, 18 now.
Yeah, and I didn't even go to 18. You know, they didn't use James Kelly last night, who started most of last year. Brian McIntyre, I saw him go around gathering footballs last night. He was man of the match in so many club championship matches for them last year, and their club player of the year. Hasn't got a snuff of game time in championship this year. He would probably walk on. It reminds me of Eunan Doherty, the place for Glenty. He's very, very similar player, full of energy, can run all day and never gives the ball away. So, you know, they do have the players. Maybe they'll pull something out of the bag that we're not ready for going into the final.
Call it an award even though it's early days?
Ah, listen, Niamh Connell, you would think, you know, it's hard to back against them.
You're in the Gaza Strip there in Glenswilly in between the two superpowers. Peter Campbell, final word, we've only about 30 seconds. Tell Carr, very disappointing.
Oh, they go home very, very disappointed because, like, they had played some very good football this year. But, you know, it comes down, when you're in the semi-final, you have to perform. And, you know, an awful lot of their players didn't perform today, and they got bottled up and got turned over by the spider's web that Niamh Connell the weave for many, many teams, and it'll probably be there for St. Junan's as well. And as Gary says, I just can't see past them not winning the championship this year. I think they will close it out unless St. Junan's come up with maybe a 200-300% improvement.
Yes, delighted to be joined. Well, we talk about club legends. They don't come any bigger than John Hearn, and I don't mean in height, I mean in what he puts into the club. He's sweeping around here in the beautiful O'Donnell Park, and oh, what a pulsating contest there. John, Niamh Connell 11, Kilkeary 8 now. Niamh Connell going to play you boys to restore old rivalry. It'll be some battle.
It'll be some battle, Paddy, but you have to take your hat off to Niamh Connell. I thought they were superb today. You know, got it tight at the end, but they were always in control. But, you know, fair play to Kilkeary, they stuck in it, and with that square ball, and was it a square ball or not? But I think over the course of the game, Glenties were well on top, and, you know, probably should have been a bit more ahead. But they had, you know, we always had Kilkeary at arm's length in the second half, and Paddy and Ryan and them boys find it very hard to get into. But Glenties are so well conditioned at this stage, Paddy, and they've been round the block a long time, and they're an excellent, excellent team, and our boys will be up against a big time in the final. But we're there, Paddy, you always have a chance in the final.
And I think even us in the media and the podcast, I think we were nearly talking about this one being the county final, but listen, yous are such a traditional powerhouse, and is it fair to say stuttered your way to the final so far?
Oh, absolutely, Paddy, and we got the luck of the draw in the quarter final, semi final, there's no doubt about that there, and our performances so far wouldn't be near good enough to beat Glenties. But come a final, Paddy, you know, boys have to stick their chest out and you know, go and try and claim that Dr. Maguire. There was a year, Paddy, back maybe 2005, where we played Gidore in a semi-final, and it was the same thing. Everyone said it was the final, and we beat Gidore, and we were playing this young Glenties team that never won it before. So, you know, the history books are there, Paddy, to say that, you know, you can go in underdogs, and it'll be new for St. Junan's to go into a county final as underdogs. I think maybe not, and maybe since 97 or 99 since we were underdogs. So, you know, we've always had that favours tag on our shoulders. So this is going to be a totally new experience for this young team. And, you know, I think they're up for it, Paddy, and they've nothing to lose.
What did you make of yourselves last night against St. Michael's?
Very workmanlike, Paddy. I thought we were better than we were against St. Noel's. Conditions were atrocious, very hard to play. You know, but we grounded out, and I think in the last 10 minutes we pulled away, and happy enough with the defence, we were strong. And just, you know, it's very, very, very cagey at this stage of the championship, Paddy. Teams don't want a mistake, and St. Junan's are very cagey, and they hold on to the ball, and Glenties and Kilkeary were doing the same today. So that's the way it's kind of gone, Paddy, which, you know, it's not great for the traditionalists. We'd like to see maybe an early ball kicked in and the game open up and that, but, you know, it could be a cagey final. But I think our boys did well, and, you know, they got the job done, and few players are beginning to find form, and you know, we have a strong enough bench. So Rory, I think, it's be very happy where he is.
Can you find form in the final, John, if you are stuttering along?
I think although we've been stunning, Paddy, I think the boys are still happy enough and they've got there. So, you know, they've got a game plan and they're sticking to it very, very rigidly. And, you know, Rory set that out from the start of the year. So, you know, I'd say they'll back themselves to stick with that game plan and hope that, you know, they can nick Glenties in a low scoring game. But it's going to be extremely difficult, Paddy. They're a very seasoned team at this stage. You can see them there today, you know. And especially when they drop men back, it's very hard to break them down. So, you know, we're going to have to kick scores from out the pitch or whatever. But, you know, we've got forwards that can do that. So we're looking forward to it. But listen, anything can happen in the final. And once you're there, we have 2 weeks now to look forward. And it's great for the club. The reserves are there too, you know, when the ladies won an intermediate last week and the hurlers in the final. So we're in a bit of a high, Paddy, but it'd be great to bring the Dr. Maguire back.
And I was just going to say that because, and I mentioned at the outset, you are such a traditional power. And 6 years in a way for a club like St. Eunan's is a lifetime, isn't it? It's a famine almost.
Yeah, it's a long time, Paddy, you know. But like, Glenties have come to the top there, and Gidor won an officer title, and Glenswilly were there. So, you know, there's a lot of clubs knocking about, and Kilcare won their championship. So, since we were there last, a lot of clubs have come in and kicked on, and we've kind of transitioned now with a new, younger team that won a couple of minors and that. So, you know, if we could get over the line, Paddy, I think we'd be there for the next 10 years. But it's a big ask. Glenties are a phenomenal team, and you know, we'll go on massive underdogs. But anything can happen in the final, Paddy.
Will John Harn be given any team talks before it? I know you're chairman, but will you be allowed to grace the sanctuary of the dressing room?
I don't think so, Paddy. I think Rory is you know, the way it's gone, Paddy, they try and keep emotion out of it. They don't want any hitters like me coming in shouting and roaring.
There's still a place for old-fashioned emotion, isn't there?
Ah, there is somewhere, Paddy. But, you know, I think our boys are well aware of it. Like, Keenan Ward made a great interview last night on the radio afterwards, what it means to the people in the club. You know, and we're a big town, Paddy, but we're a small club. And it's, you know, it's you know, I see it as it's our job to promote Gaelic games in Letterkenny, and that's what we have to do, and that's what everyone in the club is rowing in behind to get young fellas out playing. And you know, you have soccer and you have basketball and you have athletics and you have everything, so we have to fight our own wee patch here, Paddy, and that's what we're doing, and we're delighted. And you know, we're in a final now, so it's great for the kids, the underage kids now will be all there, and we'll bring big support to the final. So, you know, looking forward to it, Paddy.
I see your own. I'll let you go, but just one final question. Speaking of kids, I hope you haven't lost your own son over the head of this interview. Can I ask you, John, the pitch itself? I took a walk on it before it, and I'm not just saying this because I'm talking to the chairman, but I can't believe how good a shape it's in for this time of year. It's pristine.
No, it's by big Vincent. I've seen him down there now putting away the bench, and Vincent and Andy look after so well. And there was two games here yesterday, Andy, or Paddy. It wasn't as if this was the first game of the weekend, and there's another game afterwards, and there'll be games here all week next week. So, you know, we're happy to help out the county board, and they've been very good to us, giving us big games. We're delighted to get this county final today because Kilcare and Glenties bring such massive support. So, you know, we're happy to facilitate them when we normally get the intermediate final. So, no, all the credit goes to Vincent and Andy McGlynn there. They do a tremendous job, and they're all volunteers, Paddy, like everyone, and they're doing their best, and it's brilliant. So, you know, we're proud of our facilities, and you have to keep pushing on.
And finally, I don't think it's gone unnoticed, pandemic reduced as a drive-in centre as well. That was terrific.
That was we came up with that last year, Paddy. As soon as we seen it, it was actually myself got onto the HSE straight away because I knew that they were looking for a place around the town, so we were delighted to volunteer for that. But we're looking for a wee bit of payback now, Paddy, when the sports cavalier grants are announced at the end of October, so we've been, or end of November, so we've been on to Joe McHugh and Cherry McConnell Logan, all the politicians, so we'll be looking for a wee payback there, Paddy, when the grants are announced, you know.
Yeah,
We have plans now for another pitch. You know, we have 13 acres out the back there. So, you know, you have to keep expanding the same as every club, and keep pushing and keep developing your facilities for the children of the town and for everyone else. Because we've got ladies' teams at Camogie and Ireland and the whole lot. So big demand on the facilities here in O'Donnell Park, Paddy. But, you know, we're proud of them, and we're looking to push on all the time.
Looking to push on. You better go look for that young fella as well. John Harn, club legend here at St. Eunan's, and of course John's St. Eunan's and Rory Kavanagh's St. Eunan's will be taking on Niamh Connell this year in the 2021 county final. Yeah, delighted to be joined by Frank Craig, Donegal News. Frank, these encounters between the top teams, they're always dramatic, aren't we? And that's exactly what we had once again here in O'Donnell Park.
Yeah, listen, we spoke about it during the week, and I don't think either of us anticipated that it would be a classic or a shootout. But just because of that residual bad blood that stemmed over from that delayed 2020 county final, it was always going to be interesting, and it was always going to be pockmarked maybe with big moments of controversy and just bad blood. And I felt coming into this game, Paddy, it was simply a game that Kilcare could not lose because they'd kicked up the fuss in 2020, so they had it all to lose. And you could see at the end what it meant to Niamh Connell. It wasn't just a victory that pushed them into a county final. It was a victory in the sense of, I told you so, we're the better team and we deserve to be advancing. And I just felt, I wondered what Kilkeara might have learned maybe from that 2020 defeat. It didn't seem like much because I thought maybe they got some of their matchups wrong. I mean, we all know what Niamh Connell were going to try to do. They were going to try to be direct. And even though they did keep out the goals here today, I thought that just Glenty's made too much hay off of Charles McGuinness in there. And I thought maybe Conor McShane and Mickey Higgerty might have been a better maybe duo in there in terms of marking and sweeping. But listen, it's easy from up here. Half time, I suppose, with the breeze and even with, you know, Glenty's losing Oran Doherty to a black card after just 10 minutes. Glenty's would have been quite happy going into the break level pegging. I mean, we probably talk about Kilkeara against the Breeze as maybe the best counter-attacking team in the county. So I didn't have that much fear for them at the break. But seeing what they offered all year in terms of scores and just being swashbuckling, they kind of reverted to a bit to type today what we'd seen in that 2020 final. It's just not going to beat Niamh Connell because Niamh Connell are so comfortable in that system. You had people saying earlier on, you know, Niamh Connell don't have marquee scoring forwards. But who does? Kilkeara have won, you know, Bundoran have won in Jamie Brennan. Maybe McCool's have won in Austin Gallen. But that makes sides predictable. And I think, you know, it's, you see the likes of maybe John O'Malley and Dermot Brick-Malloy warming the bench for Niamh Connell. They're scoring forwards. But what Glenty's have, Paddy, is a system that they're very comfortable in. And you just knew as that their game progressed today that it was more of the same. And that script only ever ends up one way. And that's Niamh Connell suffocating the life out of you and edging through and prevailing. And that's exactly what happened today. And listen, you have to tip their hat to them. I was chatting to Ethan O'Donnell afterwards. He says, makes no bones about it. Listen, there's still an asterisk beside that 2020 decider. But he says he's dressed this up as Niamh Connell hunting down three in a row and looking to make a bit of history.
And on 2020, that possibly, we don't know the ins and outs of it. And who for us to discuss in terms of, we don't know how it's going to end up. But you do get a feeling that that might put it to bed today, no?
I suppose it puts it to bed in Niamh Connell's eyes that, listen, they've won twice now, albeit, you know, that first day was on a penalty shooter. And I often wonder about these things. I mean, you know, we say Kilkeara drove this, but you never know, is it the players, is it the manager? How much of an impact did they have on it? Was it the club's executive? So, you know, there's stealth and all that there. And
you can never call a club appealing anything as a whole. It could be one or two, three individuals within the club.
Yeah. And listen, I mean, rules are rules and they're there for a reason. And listen, to govern fairness and things like that there. But it just, I mean, for us writing about it and reporting on it and broadcasting, it just puts so many delicious subplots into the mix. Because if you judge that game maybe on its merits here today, I know TG Carr were watching as well, it probably, you know, it didn't do justice the amount of individual talent that was on display, but it just remains fascinating because simply, I mean, there is that fallout that, you know, that's carried on now for the last 3 months. And again, you could see at the very end there, you know, thankfully sense prevailed, it threatened to boil over because emotions were running high. But again, Niamh Connell, we just talk about that consistency, that game management and know-how. Every one of their players, Paddy, when they get on the ball, they're comfortable. I mean, over the years, all the good and great teams, there's always two or three lads in it that you'd be delighted to see getting the ball. And, you know, the more space they have, sometimes the more chance they have of giving it away or making a mistake. But there's not one of those Niamh Connell lads that if you're in an opposition team or opposition manager that you could say isn't comfortable on the ball. I mean, you just go through that. Ethan O'Donnell.
Kevin, sorry to interrupt, but Kevin McGett again, they talk about unsung heroes. Like, he's having an incredible, look, 2-3 years. Charles McGuinness is another. Like, you look at Charles McGuinness, and he's just part of the system, but the work he puts in is silly, like.
Death Taxis and Kevin McGettigan getting on the score sheet in big games. I mean, you don't miss him. You go, like, I know Charles McGuinness was superb today, but I thought Kilkeara played into his hands. But at the same time, he's worked himself into fantastic shape. He puts himself about there. But I thought Ethan O'Donnell was superb. And I thought Oran Doherty, even though he was missing for 10 minutes because of that black card, was brilliant. Indeed, all the Dohertys, I mean, you look through them, Oran and even Union as well. They're just, hey, they're fantastic fantastic looking specimens. They obviously put in huge work in terms of S&C. And Paddy, when you're hunting down, and the way Glenty's defended at the very end there, you know, a couple of different Kilkenny boys had swipes at balls. I mean, serious hunger for a side that's laden with medals and success, for them to still be going to the well like they are in terms of effort, it's so impressive. And it's just in terms, as we said, you know, that S&C that Niamh Connell have banked in that experience, when they put players under pressure, like, you see them popping balls out of the likes of Ryan McHugh, Andrew McLean, Owen Hughes. These are top players, some of the best players in the country, but Niamh Connell are able to put the pressure on that turns ball over. And I just thought they were superb in a different kind of way. The day again, they get the job done, and that's the most impressive thing about it. Just going into the final, it's going to be very interesting. And over the years, traditionally, St Unions would always been favourites, maybe in that there, Jule. But that flips now, and it's a young, vibrant St Unions team, and with nothing to lose. So, like, in a fortnight's time, that's something to really look forward to.
And finally, because I know you need to go as well, but I've just asked John Harn, Gary McDade, and Peter Campbell, and I'll ask you the same question. So much for trying to avoid repetition, but can St Unions turn it on one big game?
I tipped St Unions at the start of the year, but it's fair to say they've probably stumbled their way into the final, and maybe the avenue's been a wee bit kind to them. But how many times have we seen over the years when a big underdog in a Donegal final gets the job done? And I like the look of this St Unions team, because I just know from reporting on them and watching them at underage, they're a serious team, but they probably just are a wee bit short, maybe in experience. But the pressure's off. They've got to a final first. That's a monkey off the back since 2015. I look at it in terms of people maybe criticise St Unions in terms of how maybe they threw away a 6-point lead against Kilkenny on that opening day. But I look at it, the fact that they managed to work themselves into a position to go half a dozen points clear of one of the top four, how many other sides can, you know, Niamh Connell couldn't do that there today. So I think St Unions need to show a bit of bravery, a bit of fearlessness. And I think, you know, the fact that they are so young, and you look at the likes of Keelan Ward, maybe Eamon Doherty, Niall O'Donnell driving that there on, they've got absolutely nothing to lose. So I think they can go into this, you know, next 2 weeks in terms of training, preparations, with very little pressure on them. I think they've made progress this year. They've progressed to a decider, but throw the kitchen sink at that there. Sides are apprehensive, and Kilkenny are apprehensive today. I want to see a side go at Niamh Connell, put them on a back foot, and, you know, ask those questions, have no regrets afterwards, because I'm sure, again, Kilkenny are going to have plenty of regrets there the day. What did they clock up in the end? 8 points. A side that was shooting the lights out, going for broke the whole year, to maybe offer up that there kind of cautiousness in a semi-final. Niamh Connell won those games 10 times out of 10, so St Unions need to bring something different to the table. And if they do that there, they're good enough and they're talented enough to put Niamh Connell under real, real pressure.
Finally, Dee, you were at that match last night between St Michael's and St Unions. Yeah, the voice there of Frank Craig of the Donegal News. Delighted to be joined by Oney McGarvey for a wrap-up on the Intermediate and Junior Football Championship. So, wins for Dunlow yesterday and Clonaily there. We are absolutely freezing here in the Donegal GAA Centre of Excellence here in Convoy. But fair to say, both similar enough games, and that both kept their opponents at arm's length.
Yeah, very much so, Paddy. I think Dunlow and Clonaily deserved their victories. And I think, just looking back, I think Clonaily finished there with 2-11, and I think 2-12 that Dunlow scored. Scored yesterday, and Glenn and Buncrana roughly scored the same. So you would have to say that Desi Gallagher and Michael Lynch would be very happy. They won't say that, but they would be happy with the performances and getting to the final. And I think we're looking forward to a good final, Paddy. You know, I think two teams who have played well in the Intermediate Championship. That's the sixth game this year in the Championship. I think in Dunlow have won them all. I know Clonaily lost the first one to Glenn, but they've been improving every game. And even there today, you know, at half time, it was 1-7 to 5 points. And they were playing into a strong enough breeze, and the rain started coming down and that. But I thought they handled the second half really, really well. You know, Darren McGeever came into it in the second half. Jason McGee came into it. Aidan Doohan started the second half off really well. He scored 1-1. Mm-hmm. And that really took the wind out of Buncrana's sails. And I thought they managed the game. I thought their years of being up playing Division 1 came to the fore in the second half, and they were able to keep Buncrana, as you say, at arm's length, and I thought they looked good now in the second half, Clonely Lee, in fairness. But in saying that, Dunlow were impressive yesterday against Glen, because there would have been a lot of people tipping Glen to win that, purely because they got beaten two semi-finals this past 2 years. But I thought Glen probably played well in the first 20 minutes, but the 1-2 that Dunlow got, you know, before half-time, Dylan Sweeney got the goal, and they got a couple of points in that, and they went in 1-6 to 6 points up, and that really won the game for them. The 5 minutes before half-time and maybe the 10 minutes after time, they tagged on another 3 points to go 1-9 to 6 up. And in fairness, they looked good. They've done a good job on Aaron Doherty. Mark Curran really tied him up, you know, and the three Currans are playing well for them. And Oisin Boner, Dara Gallagher and Dylan Sweeney, they had three big games as well for Dunlow. So they'll be happy as well, and Clonmacnoise will be happy. And I think we're looking forward to a very good final, Paddy, in the intermediate.
Dunlow deserve his credit for their resilience, because when a team gets relegated, sometimes we can see them kind of stagnate the following year. And Dunlow got off to a bad start this year as well, but they really have come back really, really strong.
They have come back, Paddy, and sometimes when a team comes down from intermediate, I would say they're coming down from senior to intermediate. Sometimes if you don't go up in your first year, as we've seen with Ballyshannon, you tend to maybe be down for 5-6 years. And I would say Desi and his management team are looking at that. Look, they're getting confidence up. They were up in the senior championship there, and they were always in the relegation playoffs for 4 or 5 years, and they weren't winning many games, and that's not good for confidence. And look, they came down. They lost to Downings maybe in their second league game in Dunlow, which was a big shock in that. But in fairness to them, they really turned it round, and as I say, they looked good yesterday. They did look like a senior team yesterday. You know, they're physically good. You know, we would have seen that ourselves in Ardra when they played Nivora there. You know, that they were physically better for us in that, and they look in good shape. And they've definitely turned it around. And Desi and his management team, they do deserve huge credit. You know, they're in the final now, and they'll be looking forward to playing Clonmacnoise, and like I said, we're looking forward to a good final, Paddy.
Finally, just on Clonmacnoise, it was tough in Buncrana in the second half, wasn't it? Because they had the breeze and they started off so well, but that old cliche, goals wins games, and I think you mentioned it already, it really just took the sting out of it.
It really did take the sting out of it, because they came into it. Dara O'Connor came on. You know, they had John Campbell in there. They were putting Peter McLaughlin in there, or maybe Keelan McGonigal in, you know, trying to get a high ball in. And O'Connor had a great chance maybe 5 minutes into the second half. Sean McClavery pulled off a great save. You know, if Buncrana had got that, it would have been a different game. But then it was Clonmacnoise that went up the field. And like I said, Aidan Doohan got the goal. And you could just nearly see it, Paddy, you know, even out on the field. They, you know, Buncrana probably knew then. I think it went 2-9. I think it went maybe 2-9 to 8 points. And you just know at this level, Paddy, that senior teams are not going to let other teams back into it. They pumped a few high balls in, but nothing came off them. And as I say, it finished up 2-11 to not 11. Clonmacnoise kept them at arm's length. And to be fair, Michael Lynch as well, he'll be happy with the show. And they have plenty to work on. Dunlow will have plenty to work on as well, and Clonmacnoise will have plenty to work on. But like I say, both managers, they'll be happy enough tonight.
Call it an award in this early stage.
Yeah, Paddy, you're putting me on the spot now with the Dunlow connections.
Will the Rosses be red and white?
The Dunlow connections that I have, and with me being a Nemura man, and it's going to be hard to call, Paddy. You're looking at me now. You're not going to let me go till you get an answer for me. But I suppose they'll use it as motivation. But I'll say Clonmacnoise purely because it's their third final in a row. And they're playing in Division 1, and like I say, they'll probably play this podcast now and they don't know the rest over the next couple of weeks or whatever. But
hopefully that red, of course, I know Clonmacnoise's not in the Rosses. That red and white comment was, I think there was a bit of blackguarding between Nivora and Dunlow on Twitter after the last match. I thought it was actually quite amusing. The Junior A Championship heating up as well. Wins for Downings yesterday, and Letterkenny, Gales today. So now we know the semi-final lineup as well.
Yeah, and it's a competition I've been keeping a close eye on as well, because there's some really good teams in that. You know, Downings have been looking to get out of it this couple of years. Letterkenny Gales, who are after being promoted to Division 2, want to get out of it. Narossa have really come good this year, you know, to make that competition more competitive than it was. Ciarán Donnell are there, who are after getting promoted from Division 4 to Division 3. Like you said, Downings won yesterday. So they play Ciarán Donnell in one semi-final, Paddy, and then Letterkenny Gales, they beat Moville today by a point, and they take on Narossa in the other semi-final. And that's two huge semi-finals there. And like I say, that junior championship is seriously competitive as well. And there'll be two good matches in semi-finals there, Paddy.
The Rosses might be black and white in the Junior A. Who knows to all my buddies. Just finally, final word. I don't know if you met the match in O'Donnell Park today. Niamh Connell defeating Kilcare. They're tough.
They really are, Paddy. You know, you have to admire them, and I think most GA people in the county would admire the way New Connell, New Glenties go about their business. I might have said it to you before, or I said it to somebody. They don't seem to maybe make it easy. They never hammer teams, if you know what I mean. There's always maybe a couple of points in it, but there's no better team to see a game out than Glenties. And you just know, I had to leave a wee bit before the end of the match, but once they went 7-5 and 8-5 and 9-5 up, I just knew that there was no way back for Kilcare. And I would say most people that were at the game or were watching it, they knew as well. Once Glenties get a bit of a lead like that, a 3 or 4 point lead, it's curtains, and that proved that for Kilcare.
That little stripper, they're doing all the road works now. That could be a happy place in a couple of weeks. Who knows, it could be a treble down the West Coast. Niamh Connell, Narossa and Dunlow. Who knows, stranger things have happened. Donnie McGarvey, Redo McGiltica, you're on commentary there at the Donegal GA Centre of Excellence here in Convoy. Thanks for joining me on the Donegal GA podcast.
Good morning, good Paddy.
Ramila Margaret, Oni McGarvey, there you have it. That's it for this Sunday edition of the Donegal GAA podcast. My thanks there to Oni McGarvey, John Harn, Peter Campbell, Gary McDade and Frank Craig, and to you, our listeners, and to our loyal sponsors, Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road in Donegal Town. We will talk to you in a couple of days.
FM. Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.